to confirm Wolfgar's assessment. The Goblin Kin are not as the other races of the world, Catibria explained. They are not as the humans, the halflings, the elves, the dwarves, the gnomes, even the drow. That is your mistake, my love. That was the mistake all of us made that long ago day when we agreed to the Treaty of Garam's Gorge. We hoped to see the world through our own perspectives, and projected that common sense to the hearts of the orcs. Perhaps because we wanted so badly to believe it. Perhaps because we were given little choice, but in any case, we were wrong. Mialiki has shown me this.
Drizzt shook his head, though more in confusion than disagreement.
They are evil,
Catibri stated simply. Have you met my kin? Drizzt sarcastically replied.
The difference is not subtle,
she immediately replied, as if expecting that very line of questioning.
Your people, most of your people, are nurtured in the webs of a demon goddess, who has built within your culture a structure of control that oft leads to acts of evil. The ways of the drow, often evil, I agree, remain a matter of choice, of free will, though the institutions of the drow distort that choice in the direction the Spider Queen demands. This is not the case with goblin kin or most giant kind.
You think a ranger might know this?
Brunner said offhandedly, and when everyone turned to him, the dwarf shrugged and laughed.
Well, ain't that the whole point of your training, elf?
He asked of Drizzt. Drizzt turned back to Catibri.
I met a goblin once who would argue against your point. No, Jaime, I know, she replied. I remember your tale.
Was I wrong about him?
Catibri shrugged.
Perhaps there are exceptions, but if so, they are greatly deviant from their race. Or perhaps he was not full with goblin blood. Surely there are examples of goodly half-orcs, even full communities of half-orcs who coexist in peace.
But not full-blooded goblinkin,
Drizzt asked.
No.
We should assume, then, that they, all of them, all orcs, all goblins, gnolls, and kobolds are simply that, simply evil?
Drizzt asked, letting his skepticism and dismay shine through his tone.
We should treat them without mercy and strike without parley.
Yes, she said.
You sound very much like the matron mothers of Menzo Berenzon when they speak of other races,
he scolded. But again, Catibri didn't blink and didn't back away a step.
Were Brunner to claim such against, say, Nesme, then his claims would be compatible to those of your matron mothers,
she explained.
Not my claims. Not regarding goblin kin. They are created to destroy, nothing more. Their godly design is as a blight upon the land, a scourge and challenge to those who would serve goodly purpose. It is not a king they serve, or even a goddess as with the drow. Nor are these the words designed by kings who would conquer, or races seeking supremacy. This is the simple truth of it, I tell you, as Mialiki has told to me. The goblin kin are not nurtured to evil. Evil is their nature. That distinction is not subtle, but profound, and woe to any who blurs that line.
King Obuld saw a different way,
Drizzt reasoned.
A better way for his people, and by his strength.
He stopped in the face of Catibri's scowl.
That was the deception. To us and to Obuld,
Catibri said.
He was granted great gifts by the magic of the shamans of Grumsh One Eye, and indeed by Grumsh himself. Physical gifts like his great strength, greater than any orc should know. But also, he was given wisdom and a vision of a better way for the orcs, and he believed it, and through his strength, so they have pursued that course.
Then your point does not hold,
Drizzt argued.
Unless it was all a ruse,
Catty Bree continued, undaunted. Through Obuld, Grumsh led the orcs into society, a sister state to the kingdoms of the Silver Marches, but only because he believed they could better destroy that society from within. Even with the army he had constructed, Obuld could not have conquered the Silver Marches. Tens of thousands of goodly folk would have died in that war, but the kingdoms of the Silver Marches would not have fallen. This time, it would seem that Grumsh demanded more of his fodder minions.
"And we gave it to him," Brunner said with great lament.
Drizzt looked at him in alarm, and then turned back to Catty Bree, whose eyes finally showed a bit more regret. Some sympathy, perhaps, but not disagreement with the grim assessment.
"They are not people," she said softly. "They are monsters. This is not true of the other races, not even of the tieflings who claim demonic ancestry, for they, unlike goblin kin, have free will and reason in matters of conscience. Indeed, they have a conscience. True and full goblin kin do not, I say. Mialiki says, were you to find a lion cub and raise it in your home, you would be safer than if you found and raised a goblin child, for the goblin child would surely murder you when it suited him, for gain or even for the simple pleasure of the act.
Drizzt felt as if the floor were shifting beneath his feet. He didn't doubt Catty Bree's words, and didn't doubt her claim that they had been inspired by the song of Mialiki. Ever had this been an issue of great tribulation for the drow. The rogue drow, who had found the heart to walk away from the wicked ways of the city of his kin. Was she correct in her assessment? In her assessment of him most of all? Her words rang loudly in Drizzt's thoughts.
The burden you carry blurs your judgment.
He didn't want to believe it. Wanted to find some logical counter to her reasoning. He thought of Montolio, his first mentor when he came to the surface, but a quick recollection of those days affirmed Catty Bree's words, not his own heart in this, for Montolio had never offered any advice about judging the content of the character of a goblin or orc. Drizzt considered Montolio de Bruchy to be as good a man as he had ever known. Would Montolio have signed the Treaty of Garam's Gorge? Had Montolio ever suffered goblin kin to live? Drizzt could not imagine that he had. He looked plaintively at Catty Bree, but the woman loved him too much to offer.